amen, was God. Amen. They realized that. And if the Jews, amen, had sense enough to stop and take a, amen, an inventory of themselves, because, amen, the lifestyle that they were living and the law they was under and the things that they was doing, what about us? Can I get a witness? What about us? But you know, it's something about mankind, amen, what? It's hard for us to accept. Why? Because self is always in the way. Can I really win it? Self is always trying to create a problem within our lives.
We know that the Word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this Word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
For he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To our ministers who share the pulpit with us, and to all of you, the saints of God, who are here in this place on this Sunday morning, we thank God for you. So happy to see Sister Denise Robinson home visiting her mom, amen, and her son. Glad to see you, Denise. God bless you. And to anybody that I may have overlooked, amen, we're glad that you're here today. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, there is a word from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 54. And while you're finding that, I do want to ask that all of us would be in prayer for Pastor Guy DeRitter and his family. His wife passed on yesterday. We want to keep that family in our prayers. Isaiah 54, verses 1 through 4. And I will be reading from the New International Version. There you will find these words. Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For just a few moments this morning, I want to speak to your hearts. As a matter of fact, I wish you'd look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, it doesn't make sense, but it works. Amen. It doesn't make sense, but it works. Thank you. Ushers, thank you, youth ushers, amen. God bless you. Samuel Johnson once wrote that great works are performed not by strength, but by struggle. not just by talent, but also by perseverance. Another writer says that struggle exists in the tension created by the push of the new. Struggle is born in the crucible of change. A seed struggles to break out of its bud when it's planted in the ground. Germination only takes place after the struggle and not before it. Only then do the tender shoots struggle against the soil to break free. A blossom struggles against the limitations of the bud before it blooms. A chick must struggle its way through the outer shell of the egg in order to be born. And the butterfly must struggle by beating its wings against the cocoon in order to develop the muscles necessary to fly. The night struggles with day in a pre-dawn smackdown before it surrenders to the light. A baby must struggle its way through the birth canal before it takes its first breath. Much in the same way, an idea struggles through what is or what used to be before unfolding what it can be when its time has fully come. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, in spite of the struggle, we still wake up one day and find that we're not where we expected to be. We have struggled, yet we haven't moved forward. We've experienced the pain, but we don't see any gain. And we find that we're not where we expected to be 5, 10, 15, or 20 years ago. And I don't know about you, but it just blows my mind sometimes that we're not living the life that we had planned on living, nor living with whom we planned on living with. We're not in the place we told our friends about. You know, when you were in high school, and some of us are getting ready to celebrate, I think it's my 10th year high school reunion, amen. And you remember back when you were in high school and you used to talk about what you is going to be, what you're going to be doing, the kind of house you're going to be living in, the kind of car you're going to be driving, amen. But sometimes it blows our mind that we're not living the life that we had planned on living. We're not in the place that we told our friends about. And the truth is that after all of our stretching and our struggling, we're still not in the place that we expected to be. We're still struggling to rise up off valley floors after being knocked down again. We're struggling just to navigate the treacherous waters of the uncertain. We're struggling just to stand our ground and to raise our voice, and still we're not where we expected to be. We didn't imagine that life could be like this. We never dreamed in a million years we would be where we are today. Well, my brothers and sisters, in our text, we hear the prophetic voice of the children of Israel while in Babylonian exile. This passage is called the fourth servant song in Isaiah. It is a song. It is a call to praise. It is a proclamation of salvation before the conclusion of the book in chapter 55. Here in this song, the prophet's basic lexicon includes words like faith, words like righteousness, words like the Holy One of Israel, words like salvation in Zion. The text begins and ends with God speaking. And as God speaks, God is using metaphors such as wife and barren women and images alluding to widows. And so the focus of this song is evident that after a season of forced separation from their homes and from their families, from their loved ones, their loved places, after a season of where they didn't expect to be doing what they didn't expect to be doing, worshiping in the place where they didn't expect to be worshiping, that after a season of forced separation where they were struggling in a strange land, pain and no gain. You Bible readers remember that it says they hung their harps on the willow trees because they couldn't sing the Lord's song in a strange land. After all of this, all of a sudden, tell your neighbor, things are about to change. And so this song announces that restoration is on the way. And so to announce the restoration, to announce the change, the women of God were summoned to sing. Now you need to note that the women of Israel, they were some singing women. Throughout the Hebrew Bible, we see that they sang at festivals. They sang when the fields were planted. They sang at harvest time. They sang when babies were born. They sang when the wine was blessed. They sang joyous songs of celebration. They sang songs of victory. They also sang at funerals. They sang during seasons of mourning and grief. They sang laments expressing grief and sorrow and loss and despair. You Bible readers will remember how Miriam organized the women to sing after crossing the Red Sea. You Bible readers will remember how Hannah sang after the birth of Samuel. You Bible readers will remember how Deborah sang after the enemies of God were vanquished. And let us not forget how Mary sang after the visitation of the Holy Ghost. You will note that in Isaiah 32, the women sang to announce a shift as well, because they were unaware of the ungodliness and the vile living in that day in the midst of a holy God. And so in Isaiah chapter 32, they were called to sing songs of lament and despair. Amen. But now we're not in chapter 32, we're in chapter 54. And the women are again summoned to sing. They are not summoned to sing the songs of chapter 32, but they are summoned to sing a new song. They are summoned to sing a song that is different, a song that did not reflect where they were, but they are summoned to sing a song that said where they were going. You missed it. You missed it. They were not summoned to sing a song about where they were, but they are here in chapter 54 summoned to sing a song about where they're going. They were isolated, separated, barren, but this time they were summoned to sing songs about restoration. Songs that said the season of lack is over and the season of abundance has arrived. They were not summoned to sing, "Sometimes I feel like a motherless child." They were not summoned to sing, "Lord, hold back the night." They were not singing, "Lord, help me to hold out." They were summoned to sing songs like, "I'm living in the overflow." They were summoned to sing songs like, "Showers of blessings." They were summoned to sing songs like, "The storm is passing over." They were summoned to sing songs like, "I'll make it. I do believe I'll make it." They are called to sing a song that said God looked beyond their faults and saw their needs. They are summoned to sing songs not of where they were, but tell your neighbor but where they are going. And y'all, maybe we're getting what we're getting because we're singing the wrong song. Look at somebody and say, it's time to change tunes. Oh, do I have a witness here today? They were summoned to announce a change, to sing a song different from their present situation, just like a nightingale sings at the darkest hour before the dawn. They were not instructed to sing songs that ignored the present realities or to sing songs of make-believe, but they were summoned to sing songs of hope, as if things were already better, as if victory were already won. In other words, tell your neighbor, don't wait till the battle is over. Oh, I ought to have a witness in here. You can shout now. So here it is. The song they sing is addressed to the barren women. It was a song to those unable to produce, even though they had all the necessary biological equipment. And my brothers and sisters, you need to note that this is a metaphor for Israel, and in a real sense, it's a metaphor for us. The people of Israel had everything they needed to produce. They had education, they had training, they had preparation, they had the degrees, they had experience, they had everything they needed to produce, they had all the gifts to produce, but they had a track record of non-productivity. So here the prophet, he uses the image of a barren woman, someone who has not produced, to refer to Israel as a whole. Now, you need to know that in ancient times, a barren woman was symbolic of grief and mourning. A barren nation was equivalent to desolation and exile. But the text testifies that God said to barren Israel, look at it, he tells them, enlarge your house. That don't make sense. Let out your curtains. Has God lost his mind? Let out your boundaries. Move the stakes. Lengthen the car and don't hold back. I'm sure they were asking God, are you serious? Amen. God said, God told them you will spread out to the right. Don't you know they were saying, who are you talking to, God? God said, you're going to spread out to the left. They were scratching their heads and saying, you can't be, we're in exile. We're in bondage. You can't possibly be talking to us. God said, your descendants will possess the nations and settle the desolate towns. God, that don't make sense. I mean, here is the question of the hour. You want to know what the question of the hour is? Why would God ask a barren woman to sing a pregnant song? That's the question of the hour. Why would God ask a barren woman to sing a pregnant song? I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. The first reason, God did it because as the text announces, this is going to shout somebody right here, the place of the people's failure will become the place of their greatest victory. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody. I'm preaching to somebody. You know what your issue is. You know what your issue was. You know, amen, amen. Somebody sitting here looking at me. You lost family. You lost job. You lost everything because of some hang up, because of some issue. But God sent me by here today to tell you that the place of your greatest failure is going to become the place of your greatest victory. Somebody ought to write that down. In other words, the place that they thought they would never get back to will now become the place God will send them back to. But watch this, not as a defeated nation, but as a victor. Oh my, look at the promises of God in verses 14 and 15. He says there will be no more terror, no more strife. It will be a place of righteousness again. Your faith has been tested. The struggle has now produced strength. The place where you thought you would never get it together, God is going to send you back in victory. You've been tested and you've been tried. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in here today. God is going to send you back to the place where they said you'd never amount to anything. God is going to send you back to the people who doubted your efforts. They laughed at your resolve, and God is going to send you back there, not as a victim, but as a victor. Not as a loser, but as a winner. Oh my, oh my. So God has these barren women to sing a pregnant woman's song because the place of their failure will become the place of their victory. But then secondly, God did it. He tells these barren women to sing a pregnant woman's song. Secondly, because the mindset they had was not large enough for what they were about to get. So they were told to plan for greater things. Look at the words that are used here. Expand.
increase. I'm trying to preach to my business owners, but I'm trying to preach to everybody. Amen. Let out. Remove limitations. Make room to grow. God must be kidding. Go beyond your present boundaries. What was God saying? God was saying to Israel then and to us now that the mindset you have is not large enough for what's coming. So God is trying to help you lift your eyes off of the small you have now and expand your vision and horizon for the large that God is getting ready to send you. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Oh, you ought to be tired of narrow circles and narrow-minded people and folk with narrow expectations. You ought to be sick and tired, amen, of running with folk who have no dreams beyond, amen, first, amen, beyond fifth place. You ought to be tired of fellowshipping with folk who have no hope for tomorrow. You ought to be tired, amen, of keeping company with people who have no expectation of what God is about to do. Is there anybody here today who has faith to believe that where I am now is not where God is going to leave me? It's not where he's going to keep me. He wants to take me to another level. Give him praise in this place. Some of y'all ought to be tired, amen, of some folk. As a matter of fact, on this elevator of life, there are some folk you're running with. There are some folk you're keeping company with. On this elevator light, you need to push that button, amen. Third floor as high as you want to go, all right. Here you go, baby. This is your stop. I'm going higher. Is there anybody who has made up in your mind that I'm going higher with the Lord? Folk that don't expect you to go nowhere. They don't expect you to do nothing. Nothing good anyway. But God says, look at it, increase. Let me hear the church say increase. Expand. Grow. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Get ready for what God is sending you. Because the mindset you've got now is not large enough for what is coming. In other words, even though you're not pregnant yet, go and get the baby furniture. You don't have the job yet, but baby, go on and get you a new dress for your new job. You don't have the promotion yet, but go pick out your new office furniture. You don't have the mortgage money yet, but go look for the house and circle it in the newspaper. Oh my, you don't have money for tuition yet, but go ahead and register online. He hasn't asked you to marry him yet, but go on and get your wedding dress. Pick out your honeymoon spot. Plan for your wedding. It's not here yet, but God says get ready for it. It's not here yet, but God says get ready anyhow. You ain't got it yet, but get ready for it anyhow. God wants you to prepare for the largest blessing that he's sending you. Now listen. You determine, watch this, you determine how large your blessing is. Watch it. You determine how large the blessing God is sending. What you talking about, preacher? What you talking about? God says, increase, let out. I've had to let out. Because more was coming. Thank God for tailors. Amen. God says increase, let out, expand, grow, remove the boundaries. Now watch this. God didn't tell them how far. That's because the size of your blessing is determined by the room you make for it. Oh, somebody, you missed it. You still not with me. You still not with me. Can I go to Bible country on you? Remember that widow who was going to die and she only had a little oil? Amen. But the prophet said to her, go and get pots. He said, go get pots, because the oil God was going to send her was more than she had containers for in her own house. And watch this. After she collected the pots, y'all know what happened. God filled them. Watch this. The oil did not stop coming until the space she had provided was full. If you make room for it, tell your neighbor, God will fill it. God will fill it. God will fill it. But then finally, the promise in the women's song was not just for them, but for those who were coming after them. Isn't that what the third verse says? It says, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your children will possess the nations. Did you hear that? There are generational benefits for what God is going to do. The blessings for one generation will be so large, they'll be passed down to the next generation. Pastor, what are you talking? I'm speaking prophetically. I'm speaking prophetically that Babineau's seasoning is going to bring in so much money for Babineau that he ain't going to be able to spend it all. He and his wife, they won't be able, but he's going to have to spread it around to somebody else. Brother Hunter is going to be so blessed that he ain't going to just have rehab in Leesville. There's going to be rehab in Lafayette and rehab. I'm trying to tell you that you are the one who determines what kind of blessing you're going to get. Is there anybody here that's willing to expand the horizons of your faith, expand what you believe God is able to do? Now, and I'm closing, but in order to get what God has for you, you've got to let go of your expectations of how the process works. See, we let process mess us up. y'all know we expect things to come in an orderly, natural process. Y'all know A to Z. Amen. And you understand that when you talk about A to Z, the letters know their places. No matter what, Z always knows its last. So if Z has always been last, Z has no expectation of being first. Woo, but I'm so happy that I serve the kind of God who will jump over preconceived notions. I'm so happy that I serve the kind of God that will jump over birth orders. God will jump over all the expectations and traditions of man. And if God wants Z to be first, that's exactly where Z will be. And nobody can do anything about it, because God determines where Z ought to be. So where do you want to put your life? In the hands of God or in the hands of man? I don't know about you, but I'm gonna put my life in the hands of God. I know it doesn't make sense, but tell your neighbor, it works. Quit trying to figure it out. How God is gonna work it out. And just let God do what God is gonna do. It did not make sense for Gideon to narrow down his army to 300 men. But tell your neighbor, it worked. It did not make sense for a shepherd boy to go against a 9-foot giant. But do I have a witness here? It worked. It did not make sense for Nehemiah to leave a good government job to go back to rebuild Jerusalem. But is there anybody here who will testify with me that it worked? It did not make sense to turn the Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm talking about Paul
into an apostle of Jesus Christ. But check.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services.